What is the significance of the relationship between energy and power? This is actually a hugely important question because we hear from bright greens and solar enthusiasts that solar is accounting for a great percentage of energy usage around the world. We have Naomi Klein saying on Democracy Now, 25% of Germany's energy now comes from renewable energy, particularly wind and solar, much of it small scale and decentralized. We have Bill McKibben tweeting that German renewables continue to soar, 31% of its power already, coal use falling. We have Daily Kos saying that Germany has reached the point where it had gotten over 74% of its electrical power from renewable sources the other day. We have Kylie Crow, senior editor of the Climate Progress website, saying, on Sunday, Germany's impressive streak of renewable energy milestones continued, with renewable energy generation surging to a record portion, 75% of the country's overall electricity demand by midday. We have Ari Phillips saying that there was 75% of the day's electricity demand was met with renewable sources. We have 350.org saying that solar power floods the grid. We have Naomi Klein saying the cities of Frankfurt and Munich pledged to move to 100% renewable energy by 2050 and 2025, respectively. I'll say that again. The cities of Frankfurt and Munich pledged to move to 100% renewable energy by 2050 and 2025, respectively. But the truth is that solar and wind provide about 3% of Germany's energy usage. So how do we make sense? What's the truth? Is it 3%, 25%, 78%? How can these claims be so wildly varying? Let's start by talking about what they mean by renewable energy. They seem to be implying that means wind and solar. But renewables also includes hydro, so-called biofuels. Biofuels are simply cutting trees down and burning them, or also growing crops that you can then burn. Let's talk about more about Germany. Let's get hydro out of the way first. It's only about 3.5% of Germany's electricity. But we all know that hydro dams are incredibly destructive. So when any solar booster talks about, or any bright green talks about some country being 95% renewable, as they talk about with Costa Rica, but that's hydro. It's destroying dams, destroying rivers. And also it's an accounting, in terms of actual production of greenhouse gases, it's an accounting shenanigan is a nice word, because dams put tremendous amounts of methane into the air, and they actually put out up to 3.5 times as much greenhouse gases as burning coal because of all this methane. So it's really harmful right there. So the next one is biofuels, which are about 70% of the renewable energy and 30% of the so-called renewable electricity, we'll talk about the difference in a minute, in Germany, comes from biomass. That's cutting down forests and burning them, or growing crops to burn. So when they talk about, oh, they got 75% of their renewable energy from this, most of it is actually cutting down forests. So the next step is that, and they cut down forests from all over Europe, and they cut down forests in the United States too. As one commenter dryly notes, as Northwest European wood resources are not sufficient for this sudden demand, the region relies on imports from abroad. And almost half of Germany's timber production is simply cutting down trees, pulping them, drying them into pellets, and burning them. And this is a terrible, terrible thing for the world too, not only terrible for the forests, but also terrible for greenhouse gases, that this is all called carbon neutral. And the reason they call this carbon neutral is because when they cut down the trees, they presume the trees are going to grow again. And so they count this as not using up. They don't count the carbon they burn because they presume the forest will one day grow again. And that's like me stealing money from a bank and then it not being called theft, because at some point somebody's going to put the money back in the bank. This is sort of accounting shenanigans that would have gotten Enron, that did get Enron busted. Think about this, that can you imagine any accounting firm in the country saying, we have a we are not losing money. We are actually at dollar neutral because we're putting out money now and we hope to get this money back sometime in the next 100 years. They would all be in jail. And so that's biomass. That's another big part of it. And something really important about this is there's a energy analyst who talks about, this is a great quote, growth of renewable energy since 2000 only really came from three energy sources. This is Germany, in the European Union. Wind, solar, and biomass. In percentage terms, the two energy sources that saw the most rapid growth were wind and solar. That's unsurprising given their low starting point. However, in absolute terms, biomass is a clear winner. Between 2000 and 2011, biomass grew by 49 million tons of oil equivalent. Wind and solar only grew by 13 and 6 million tons of oil equivalent. In other words, the absolute growth of biomass was 1.5 times greater than in wind and solar. And so far, the majority of new renewable energy since 2000 has come from biomass, not wind and solar. Biomass is also the biggest source of renewable energy on a final energy consumption basis in all but two EU countries. The exceptions are Cyprus and Ireland. Denmark may get 30% of its electricity from wind farms, but it still gets more than twice as much of its final energy consumption from biomass than from wind farms. So when all of these so-called bright green enthusiasts get excited about the increase in renewable energy in Europe, what they're talking about is an increase in deforestation. This is all nuts. But okay, we're at 3%, 78%. You still haven't gotten to what's the difference between energy and power. Okay, so I'm going to first talk about a technical difference between energy and power. And it's going to be very important, this discussion, but it's important we understand this or we're going to break through their lies that they're telling. Energy is the capacity to do work, with work defined as a force moving an object. Now, I know that sounds complicated, but examples will make it clear. It takes energy to move your car from your house to the grocery store. It takes more energy to move a heavier car. It takes more energy to move a car farther. Okay, you ready with me so far? Likewise, it takes energy to heat water. The hotter you want the water, the more energy it takes. It takes more energy to heat water sufficiently to boil eggs than it does to heat at the bath temperature. And obviously, the more water you have, the more energy it takes to heat it. It takes more energy to heat a bathtub full of water than it does to heat a small pan to the same temperature. That energy has gone into the water and then remains in the water's heat before eventually dissipating into the room. Energy can come from burning things like wood or oil, or it can come from an object in motion like a car or a bullet. A car has more mass, but a bullet probably has more velocity. And if either one hits you, it does work on your body. Energy can come from metabolizing food. Moving your body is work, and that has to come from the food. The energy has to come from the source. Power, on the other hand, so we've got energy so far. Power, on the other hand, we'll be done with the physics lesson in a minute. Power, on the other hand, is the rate at which the work is done. More power means the work is done faster. As one analysis of energy versus power puts it, while energy measures the total quantity of work done, it doesn't say how fast you can get the work done. You could move a loaded semi-trailer across the country with a lawnmower engine if you didn't care how long it took. Other things being equal, the tiny engine would do the same amount of work as the truck's big one, and it would produce the same amount of energy and burn the same amount of fuel. But the bigger engine has more power, so it can get the job done faster. Which is why so many auto enthusiasts get so excited about an engine's horsepower, which is a measure of how fast your car's engine can convert the energy in the gasoline into mechanical engine energy to make your car peel out from the stoplight, leaving all the squares and losers in your dust, man. Okay, so we've got power versus energy. Energy is how much energy is used. I mean, energy is how much work you can do, basically. And power is the rate at which it is done. Okay, so now as this concerns this discussion, is the amount of energy you can get from burning a certain type of oil or a ton of a certain type of coal or a quart of a certain type of firewood, or for that matter, by eating a Twinkie, is predictable. And because this energy can be stored at will, coal and oil evidently for tens of millions of years, and my understanding is the same is true for Twinkies, we normally speak of these in terms of energy and not power. If you burn a certain type of oil, you'll release about 1.7 million watt hours of energy. It doesn't matter how fast or how slow you burn it, or how fast or slow you eat a Twinkie. It's going to release the same amount of energy. It doesn't matter to the oil or to ExxonMobil whether the energy is burned to keep a 60-watt bulb lit for 28,333 hours or 120-watt bulb for half that long. So on both individual and economic scales, fossil fuels, wood, Twinkies, and so on are discussed in terms of energy. With me still? Electricity, however, sometimes talked about in terms of energy, is more often spoken of in terms of power. That's primarily because the electric grid is based on alternating current, which can't be stored. You can use the AC to charge direct current batteries or to store mechanical energy by pumping water up a hill or something, but you can't store it directly. Consequently, electrical utilities have been forced to think about and build their generation systems and grids in terms of having enough capacity to meet peak demand for power. Power defined as how much energy is being delivered right now. So total quantity of energy delivered is secondary to the capacity to meet whatever demand is placed on the grid at any moment. And of course, that changes all the time with you know, when factories are running, there's more electricity needed. When televisions are running, there's more electricity needed. So weekends and holidays have less demand. Nighttime has less demand. Winter has higher demand, and so on. And so now that we understand that when somebody talks about coal or oil, they're speaking in terms of energy. And when they talk about electricity, they speak in terms of power. We're almost ready to get to where the bright green enthusiasts get their numbers. So let's take 1 year. Primary energy consumption in Germany for 2013 was about 14 petajoules. That's about 3,863 terawatt hours, enough to run a 60-watt bulb for about 7.3 billion years. So that energy is broken down as such in this chart that we're going to show here. And as you can see, petroleum accounted for a third of all the energy consumed in Germany, followed by the combined forms of coal at 24.5%, natural gas 22%. So-called renewables came in at 11.5%, of which the majority was biomass. Solar and wind together accounted for about 2.4% of Germany's primary energy production. 2.4%. That's the great German success story? Well, that's disappointing. So where do these people get their numbers? Let's start with Naomi Klein's quote from Democracy Now! 25% of Germany's energy now comes from renewable energy, particularly wind and solar, much of it small scale and decentralized. And this one's easy. She's just plain wrong. But how is she wrong? How did 11.5% with solar and wind together making up 2.4% become 25%, particularly wind and solar? That one's easy too. She said that 25% of Germany's energy now comes from renewable energy. What's true is that 25% of Germany's electricity now comes from renewable energy. There's a big difference between providing 25% of some amount and 25% of 20% of that amount. The latter, of course, is only 5% of the original amount. Okay, so here's a chart of Germany's electrical generation, which, remember, is only 20% of total energy. As you can see, renewables, quote, only made up 23.5% of that, which I suppose is close enough to 25%. And then here's the breakdown for electricity production by renewables for that year. So wind and solar combined for 13% of Germany's electrical generation. Recall that electricity is only 20% of Germany's energy usage, so 13% of 20% takes us right back to where we started, with wind and solar accounting for between 2% and 3% of Germany's energy. Saying energy instead of electricity is neither trivial nor the sort of one-off fuck-up we all make occasionally. It happens routinely with bright greens. For example, Klein claims that Frankfurt and Munich pledged to move to 100% renewable energy by 2050 and 2025. Well, no. Frankfurt and Munich did not pledge to move to 100% renewable energy. They pledged to move to 100% renewable electricity. Cars and motorcycles and semi-tractors in Munich and Frankfurt aren't going to suddenly switch to solar. Boilers that heat big buildings aren't going to suddenly switch from coal. And remember, 30% of that renewable electricity comes from biofuels. Or here's another one. Bill McKibben claims that there were days this month when Munich got half its energy from solar panels. Okay, leaving aside that he said this in December was referring to a two-hour period on a single day, not days, previous May, Munich did not get half its energy from solar panels. First, it got half its electricity from renewables, which means if Munich follows the German pattern of electricity, accounting for 20% of total energy, that renewables provided about 10% of Munich's energy for about 2 hours on a Saturday. That doesn't sound quite so exciting. And second, solar provides only about 20% of the total renewable electricity. So if Munich goes typical of Germany, that drops the actual percentage of Munich's energy provided by solar photovoltaics to about 2%. So this is all crazy. So we've covered the 25%. What about the really big numbers? Like they say 75%, 78%, 100%. They'll say Germany's reached the point where it's gotten 74% of its electrical power from renewable sources the other day. That's a huge milestone, and it demonstrates that renewable sources can power a large industrial nation. Germany shows us that renewables aren't a potential source of power for sometime in the future. They're a viable alternative today. Or Germany set a national record for renewable energy by meeting 78% of the day's electricity demand with renewable sources. Okay, they are at least talking about power. So they're talking about how much electricity is supplied in that moment. Renewables did not, by any stretch, supply 78% of Germany's electricity, and certainly not energy. But these are still profoundly misleading. First off, once again, you have to convert them, divide them by, take them down to one-fifth, because they are talking about electricity as opposed to energy. But there's something else that's really important about this. And this is worth quoting energy analyst Robert Wilson at length. He says, the obvious problem with these headlines is that many people come to the mistaken conclusion that these record highs are somehow representative of what goes on the rest of the time. They are not. Let's quantify this. The record high renewables output occurred on the 25th of July. The total wind and solar output was around 39 gigawatts, according to the industry data. How often does this happen? This is relatively easy to find out. All we need to do is add up hourly wind and solar output and see how it's distributed throughout the year. And they did this in the graph that we're showing now. Hourly output was rounded to the nearest gigawatt, and they added up the number of hours when total wind and solar output fell under each gigawatt bracket. Each bracket covered the average output over an individual hour. In total, there were 40 brackets starting at 0 gigawatts. Yes, German wind and solar falls to 0 gigawatts, meant rounded to the nearest gigawatt. So we have to resist the temptation to write German wind and solar now meeting 0.1% of Germany energy needs headlines. And here's the graph. Do you see the data point at 39 gigawatts? The one way, way off to the right? Yeah, I don't really see it either. But it's presumably there. That is the data point trumpeted by the bright greens. The data point that demonstrates that renewable sources can power a large industrial nation. That is the data point that shows us that renewables are a viable alternative today. Yes, a data point 3 to 4 standard deviations from the norm, one that occurs far less than 1% of the time. I have a degree in mineral engineering physics from one of the best engineering schools in the world. And had I tried this sort of statistical dishonesty, I would have flunked every class in which I attempted it. So Wilson continues, mean hourly output of German wind solar was 9.6 gigawatt, with a median of about 8 gigawatts. The maximum was 39, 4 times greater than the average, no matter how you define the average. So the point is that it is grotesquely dishonest to claim one day where it's extremely windy and also it is extremely clear and also it is a weekend and also it is a non-peak time, which means that all of these events conspired. Okay, let me back up. It's incredibly dishonest. Okay, let me back up again. So they claim that it ran 78% of the electricity, but they don't mention that this happened for 2 hours on a weekend when demand is the lowest. So it's 78% of a very low demand for a couple hours, when factories are not running, when the weather conditions are absolutely ideal, where you have windstorms and clear at the same time. They use this example to say that it can power the entire economy. But remember that solar photovoltaic energy cannot be solar, sorry, the solar electricity cannot be stored and conveniently. And the same with the wind. So it's only powering right then, and you cannot, are you going to have a factory that you say, oh gosh, we can only run when the wind's blowing and it's clear? No, that's not how it works. That's why oil is so convenient, because you can transport it, you can use it whenever you want, you can store it. This can't be effectively stored. So I know this is a lot of math, a lot of physics, but I'm going to use some other examples here to try to get across how incredibly dishonest this is for them to take one moment in time and make it seem like this is transposable to a larger picture, to actually power the country, as they say. So let's take an example. Have you ever ridden a bike down a hill? Did you have to pedal? No. Really? Let's write a headline. Person rides bike without having to pedal. And then bright green enthusiasts around the world can write books and articles about how renewable energy companies just need more subsidies to develop stationary bikes that don't need to be pedaled that will power the economy. Or let's try this again. In my life, I have had an orgasm or two. You may have also. If not, I would recommend it. And if you have, I'm guessing you'd recommend it too. During the relatively brief time of these orgasms, I have normally devoted 100% of my attention to the orgasm. So let's write a headline. Derek devotes 100% of his attention to orgasms. Or here's another example. When I was 17, I evaded a police chase. It wasn't really as exciting as it sounds. I was in the left lane at a stoplight when I realized I was going the wrong direction. I had to do a U-turn. A sign prohibited left turns at this busy intersection, but I observed it did not say no U-turn, so I popped on my signal, waited for the break in the traffic. I was, after all, 17, therefore this logic made sense to me. An RV right behind me started honking, but eventually I was able to pull a U-ey. Just behind the RV was a cop who pointed at me, then pointed to the side of the road. I responded, as 17-year-olds might often do, I floored it. I turned left at the next corner, right at the next, left at the corner after that, pulled into a parking lot of a big apartment complex, ditched my car between two large vehicles, ran to the building's lobby, leaned against the wall, and did a poor impression of belonging there. I saw the cop drive by on the street a few times, but he evidently didn't see my car or me. When I hadn't seen him for 10 or 15 minutes, I got in my car and this time drove the right direction. So we could publish a headline, Jensen details teenage life on the run from police. And, I mean, this is all just nonsense. I mean, let's do it again. Oh, this is a real example. When I was in ninth grade, I was on the wrestling team. I was the worst wrestler in the world. Second worst. There was one person who was worse than I in wrestling. He was in my weight class. And for some reason, he started spreading rumors around school that he had pinned me in practice. And my ego was not invested in my reputation as a wrestler, which is a good thing because I was terrible. But I was still curious since I at least nominally been present in practice and had never even been nominally pinned by this guy. And so I asked him once what he was talking about. He said, oh, I didn't mean I pinned you in practice. But I almost did. One time walking down the hall, I came up behind you and tripped you. You didn't see me. I knocked you down. In his mind, this was close enough for a pin. And let's do one more example. The other day I was at the doctor's office. I had to wait in the reception area. I sat down. As I was waiting, what was happening to the world? It was being killed by industrial civilization. Headline, as industrial civilization kills the planet, Derek Jensen sits on his ass. So my point is, these are incredible misrepresentations to take one tiny little time and to pretend that this is applicable on a larger scale. So I'm going to read a couple more quotes to end this. The report of the German Physical Society, the world's second largest organization of physicists, concludes, essentially, solar energy cannot replace any additional power plants. Complete predictability and reliability are crucial to the power needs of an industrial society. It's remarkably dishonest to pretend that renewables meeting 74-78% of power needs for a couple of hours on a Sunday, windy, weekend afternoon even remotely implies that renewable energy sources can power a large industrial nation.